turn to Proverbs chapter 30. I like Sunday school. I grew up as a kid in church just being at Sunday school and just the preaching of God's word there at Mountain View in Lucajague, Arizona, under the work of missionary Mark Haynes alongside with my grandpa, Raymond Hobbs. And that's all I ever knew was Sunday school. But before even that, as a toddler, my family were steeped in tradition, but I'm glad they got out of it, though there were still some struggles in the early stages of my family coming, growing in Christ. I was just exposed to Sunday school every Sunday, so I really appreciate it. This is when we get to open God's Word, see the verses, and just see what He has in store for us. And we don't just be hearers, but doers of the Word. Amen?
Right.
Just to lay a foundation very quickly, you don't have to turn here, but Job chapter 12, verse 7 says, But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee. It's interesting to know, when you look at that scripture, anything you see here on earth, especially the beasts of the earth, cows, dogs, you know, if there's more to it, I would add, but, you know, they teach us some things.
Right.
I mean, they teach us wisdom. They do what they do because that's what God created them to do. And it's interesting to also note that as human beings, God created you and I, and we should also do the same in regard that He's given us life and the breath and the air to breathe. Sometimes we can be rebellious at heart. Sometimes we don't even do what God expects us to do. And therefore, when you look at the beasts of the earth, they do what they're supposed to do. And we can glean from their characteristics and apply it to our lives and say, man, they know their creator. They know what they're supposed to do. Why can't I do the same?
Right.
Amen? Does that make sense? Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24, I want to... just with that foundation being planted, we're going to learn about a certain insect, or if you will, a part of God's creation, animals. And the Bible is just a series my pastor put together, and it was a blessing to our heart as we heard him preach. And this is just one of the sermons that have been a blessing to my life. And pastor is Joel Haynes. And he's just been a blessing to us. And so Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 25, the Bible says, verse 24, there be four things which are what? Little upon the earth, but they are what? Exceeding wise. Little, yet they are exceeding wise. That's something to ponder on. The ants are a what? People. Not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. There's another truth we can ponder on for just a bit. And you go to Proverbs chapter 6, and verse number 6, the Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. You ever met somebody who's just tired to do anything or is just idle, doesn't do a whole lot? Sounds like some of us this morning. The Bible says if you're that type of person, go to the ant. You look at ants today, they work hard. And they work all summer long to gather their food. And they never stop working. They keep at it as much as they can. And the Bible says go to the ant and look at that particular characteristics. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth in thy want as an armed man. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you again for your loving grace. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here behind this pulpit, Lord. I never want to take this for granted or anywhere else I would go, Lord, that you would have me to be. Lord, I pray that you would just just be with us this morning, Lord. Forgive us of our sin and shortcoming, Lord. And I pray that you would help me to be dependent upon you, Lord. I can't preach unless you're with me. And these people can't understand unless you're in the midst, Lord. I can do nothing of myself, Lord, as long as I am here, Lord. But if I abide in you and your words abide in me, Lord, a change can be accomplished. A work can be accomplished here in Jasonville, Indiana. And Lord, I pray that as we dig into the truths of your creation, Lord, such as the ants, help us to apply truth. And to heed it and to do thy word and to be wise as the ant, Lord. We thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have some things here that I put on a piece of paper as I was studying this out. There's just certain things and quotes about this particular subject. I like what Bridges says, a quickening sermon do these little insects preach to us as they prepare for the coming winter. What must be the thoughtlessness of men who make no provision for the coming eternity? The principle it teaches us here are, number one, to commend wisdom and to apply it, the characteristic of a hard work and preparation like the ants do. Number two, to keep us from being proud of our wisdom because we are either equal or exceeded therein by brute creatures. And number three, to direct us to God who gives wisdom and desires it. Here's a quote I just mustered up on my own. A man who does not prepare or work when many doors or seasons of opportunity present itself is a man weaker, less wiser than a tiny ant. Notice the unweariedness of the ant, small but ever working at the appointed season. The habit of doing nothing is destructive. I like this. We saw a phrase in the Bible, which having no guide, they work hard without being told. This is remarkable because they have none to lead, to be led by and to direct them as we have Jesus to lead and motivate us by his blessed word. No guide, yet they toil perpetually. That means constantly without distractions or hindrances. And then there's a phrase we see in the Bible, yet a little sleep. Just let me sleep a little longer is the attitude of a lazy person. Just let me sleep. Let me hit that snooze button. And that's not physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, we do that as God's people. And the Bible just tells us, In basic terms, we're to be working and preparing like the ants do spiritually. They teach us some things just by laying out some of these things that men have wrote and just on my thoughts of what I thought about the ants. But I want to say point number one, the comparison. The ants are a people, the Bible says. It is appropriate to compare and apply truths to people from ants. Is that really necessary, Brother Diedrich, that you apply or you compare my life or compare the truth of an ant to my life? If it's written in the Bible, it's meant for all of us. If it's written in God's word, God is saying, I want you to see some things in this life that teach us wisdom. And the only reason the ants do what they do is because God's given them wisdom to do it. And God, the God of heaven, is there for our opportunity to ask him of wisdom. Isn't that what James says? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We're supposed to be asking God for wisdom every day of our life. Because if we don't ask wisdom, we will end up in paths. We will end up in dark or messes of our life that it should have been avoided. But we put ourselves there because of lack of wisdom. And so it is appropriate to compare ourselves to the ants and to get truth from them because it's written in God's word. All scripture is written by the inspiration of God, right? It's profitable for us, right? To correct us, to give us reproof and so forth. And Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 tells us to consider her ways. So in plain sight, the Bible told us, consider her ways. So it is appropriate for us to compare and apply truths to people from ants. And I want you to see, number two, the characteristics of the ant. The Bible says little upon the earth. In our text of Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 24. Let me get there real quick. And if you're already there, that's good. The Bible says, there be four things which are little upon the earth. So the characteristic is they are little upon the earth. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 8. Don't lose your place, but look at Psalms chapter 8 very quickly with me. Psalms chapter 8. And verse number 4. You don't need to take my word for it. You look in the Bible and God will show you every time. And I like the sound of Bibles turning. It shows you that you really want to learn about God's word. Amen. Let's look back in verse 1 of Psalms chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou might eat still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 3, when you consider his heavens, thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, I mean, you just take a good look around you. Whether it's you looking up in the night sky, or whether it's you standing at a beautiful monument there in Chinle, there's a monument we call Canyon de Chelly. I don't know if any of you have been there before, but it's a tourist attraction. You go there, it's near Chinle, and you go there and you would just see the handiwork of God. I mean, it's a big canyon, and you go to Spider Rock. It's a big rock that's skinny that stands tall in the middle of the canyon. I mean, it's very beautiful. When you take in those things that God has created, you just get a glimpse of how God is big, and how He's infinite. And how he put everything into his perspective. When you look at the human anatomy, you look at the eyes and how it operates, and the lungs and the hearts, how it does its operation, and how your blood moves, and all these necessities in our body, you would just look and ponder of how God is good and how big He is. When you consider the heavens, when you consider the work of thy fingers and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. You know, we went to Fort Worth not too long ago, maybe a couple months last year, and we went to, I forget what it's called, but it's a Bible creation scientist place, or science place. And we went there, and I wasn't expecting a whole load or any. I just thought maybe we just go in. I'm a Navajo guy out of in the middle of nowhere, so I'm not exposed to these things as much. And we went in, and man, they put into perspective that to where I was just blessed to know that I serve a God, and it stirred my heart. You know, of how God created all the things in the earth within 6 days and rested on the seventh. And just seeing the planetary system of how God put everything and orchestrated everything into balance. And you consider these works that God did. And then in verse 4, what is man?
Right?
That thou art mindful of him. Why does God look at us? You know, why is he so mindful of us when he created everything else that is bigger than us? Right? And not only that, the Son of Man that thou visitest him. You know, I believe God knows where we're at. And he does visit every individual upon the earth. But you know, I wonder if we've ever given him time to visit him, to let him into our life. But that's what he does. You know, when that Bible, that verse in the Bible says in verse 4 that he's mindful of men and he visits men, how little I am, how insignificant of a people we are to a great and mighty God. When you look at the ants, they're little upon the earth. So we can apply that truth, that wisdom, in the fact that, hey, I'm little upon the earth. I am under caring and the care of God of heaven. Yeah. And I'm His creation. And I am little than the stars and the moons compared to that and compared to the whole earth. I am little. I am insignificant. Little upon the earth. Just like the ants are. And who are we to get prideful about ourselves?
Right.
Who are we to think we're some great thing?
Right.
When God says you're a little thing. And I'm a big God. And the sooner you understand that, the more dependent you will be upon me. You see how that works? And sometimes we get this mentality that we can do things our way with our strength and with our might and with our wisdom and ability, but God can take it just as quickly as you count to one.
Amen.
Because we're insignificant. We're weak, frail, short-lived human beings.
Right.
We're very frail people. Like the ants, they're very little upon the earth. And you know what? The Bible says not strong in verse 25. The ants are people not strong. Now, what does this teach us? You know, God wants weak people with strong faith. Isn't that interesting? We're not strong, but we can be strong in Christ. God is not looking for someone who has the muscles or the mentality of all to gain all the knowledge in the world. He's just looking for someone who's available. He's just looking for someone who will look to him for strength. You look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. The Bible says this, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, this verse is talking about Paul's sufferings and how he's suffered for Christ. And he tells the Corinthian church that these are the things he has gone through. And yet he goes on to say, there's been a thorn in my flesh that's been bothering me and it's very painful. And he tries to pray, he prays to God to take it away. But God has different plans for him. He says, that's actually a good thing for you. Because if I take it away, Paul, it'll be a thing where you will start to think that you're some kind of a big shot. But this is an affirmity in your life. This is a thorn in the flesh in your life that I will keep so that you will always be humble and know that you need dependence upon me.
Right.
Because that's when my strength is made perfect in weakness. You get what I'm saying this morning? I'm glad that God does certain things for us to put us in our place, right? Because if he doesn't, we're gonna walk around thinking we're some big person. We're not that very strong, but if we're strong in Christ, God wants weak people with faith that is strong.
Amen.
Someone that takes God's word and knows it with confidence that it'll come to pass. Someone who knows there's a God in heaven. And the word simply tells them there is, and he takes it at God's word, having faith. And then I want you to see the phrase exceeding wise, the Bible says in verse 24. There be four things little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. Proverbs 11 verse 2. The Bible says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. I don't know about you, but if the ants are exceeding wise, then I ought to have wisdom in my life that comes from the Lord.
Right.
I don't want to be a foolish Christian upon this earth. I don't want to be the kind of Christian that takes different avenues of life other than God's will. I don't want to be the Christian that makes hasty decisions rather than waiting on God to give me the correct decision. I don't want to be the Christian that's foolish and thinking I can live this life all on my own when God can give me what I need to live through this life. I want to be exceeding wise. You know, Solomon only was wise because God gave it to him. And we need the same mentality this morning. We need to gain wisdom from the Lord, and that's the only place we'll get it. We're not going to get it from the TV show or the TV celebrities. We're not going to get it from philosophy, tradition. We're not going to get it from anywhere else in this life, only through Christ.
Amen.
And that's the bottom line. I want to be exceeding wise. I want to know that I'm little upon the earth. I want to know that I'm not very strong, that I need total dependence upon God, that I need to know that I'm insignificant, yet there's a big God that knows me personally and wants a relationship with me. And at the same time, if I like wisdom, I want to gain wisdom from the very God that knows everything through and through. You get what I'm saying? Because the ants, they're little upon the earth. They're not strong people, but yet they're exceeding wise. This gives me the opportunity to know that though I'm insignificant, though I'm not very strong, I can be wise in the things of God. And I can be in total dependence upon Him. So you see, the ants teach us some things. Do they not? They do. And yet they're very little things. And we look at them, it blows your mind. I mean, it's a truth that just sinks into your heart and you ponder on it and you're like, wow, that's amazing. Look at what God can do. And look, let's examine ourselves this morning. Am I wiser than the ant this morning? Because if I'm not, then there's some characteristic flaws in our own life to where we think we're some kind of big somebody or some big shot. When we're little upon the earth, when we start thinking we're strong enough to carry ourselves through this life, when we think we got it all figured out, you're not wiser than the ant.
Amen.
Bottom line.
Amen.
That's why when we look at these characteristics, this insect, the ant, teaches us some things. Maybe it's time for you to take a look at these ants and see that you're not as smart as you think you are. You're not as wise as you think you are. Wait a minute, that you're insulting me. I'm not. Wait a minute, you're making me feel dumb. No, I'm not. The Bible's telling us there's a correction that needs to be made, and there's a truth that needs to be examined and applied to our life. Get what I'm saying? I want you to see point number three, how do you say it? I'm Navajo, folks. Sometimes I have hard things to say with words. The commendation. The commendation, all right? There's a praise about these ants. There's something good about these ants that come about, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. That's one phrase that we can also saturate ourselves in God's word to examine our life compared to the ants. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. That phrase, yet, the ant does not use their weakness as an excuse to give up. That interesting? We use the dumbest excuses to give up on God.
Right.
And yet the ants don't ever give up, even though they're little upon the earth. Even though as humans we can easily step on them and they're done. Right? We can grab a magnifying glass. Don't do this. But that's what we do as we grab magnifying glass. We're curious as if they will burn. I did that as a kid. And I'm not proud of it. I did it to the red ants because they bite you. I don't do it to the black ones, right? Or the ones that eat fruits and all that, that they just crawl over. I do it to the red ants. But when I saw a red ant outside, I grabbed a magnifying glass and you know what? I started to put that thing on through the sun, reflecting the sun's light, and man, that thing curled up and toasted. And I am looking back on it. I don't know why I did that, but I'm just a kid. But you know, it's interesting to note, even in the fact that if you mess up their anthill, all right, they built some kind of big anthill in my grandmother's house. They always build one right outside her backyard, and they're huge there in Arizona. And one time there was one so big, I don't know, probably about a good foot or so. And I looked at that as a kid, and I started kicking it. You know, I started messing it up. I started tearing it down, and all these ants started running out from underneath and going everywhere. And I walked away, and I was just laughing. And I look at that. You could tell I was a pretty naughty kid, right? And I look at that, and I'm thinking they're going to give up. They're just going to quit altogether and move out and go somewhere else because I messed up their home. Well, I went back and I just carried my day and I didn't pay much. Well, I was thinking in my mind, I'm going to come back to that, see what they do. So I went back into the house and I was just there all day, you know, just minding my own business. Next morning, I get up and I'm excited because I want to see what the ants did after I messed up their home. So I get up and I get ready and I start getting on my clothes and getting ready. And I tell my grandmother, I'm going outside, Grandma. She says, okay, and don't wander off too far. So I go out and go through the back door and I go to the anthill where I messed up their home. You know, I come to find that day they had built that little thing back together. They built what I've messed up. They started bringing all the sand back to where the little grain of sand back to where it was supposed to be. And it wasn't entirely complete, but you could tell they were already building it back. You know, they didn't, just watching them, they didn't give up. They didn't make excuses to give up. They could have said, oh man, this person messed up. And I don't know if they have a mind of their own or what, or they talk, but I'm just saying they didn't give up. Despite what I did to their home. And some of us in our Christian life, we make the excuse to give up on God, whether it's sickness, whether it's a death in the family, whether it's just our day's not going well, so I'm mad at God, I'm going to give up, right? We want to give up at the slightest little things that we call excuses. Want to quit altogether. And I've made those dumb decisions in my life a time or two where I wanted to give up just for the smallest things. And you and I are capable of doing that. The ants, they don't make their weakness as an excuse to give up. And you know what? They prepare. The ant prepares in the sunshine for dark and cold and stormy times. Their meat. The ant understands what is needed to survive in this world. All right, I'm getting down to the main point of everything I'm saying. You know, the ants, they prepare, and they prepare their meat, that which is needed to survive in this world. Can I just say this morning, if you're not saved, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, what is needed in this lifetime in order to survive is to believe on Christ Jesus as your Savior.
Amen.
John 6:27. What does the Bible say? John 6:27. The Bible says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. You know, this world we're living in, they're laboring up for things that are perishing. Money, pleasure, man, doctors, and they're investing in all these things, yet one day it's all going to perish. But you and I have the honor and the privilege of knowing a Savior who can help and satisfy the needs of people's hearts. Right here, believe on Christ as Savior. There's nothing aside from Christ that can help you in this life. Nothing. I had to learn that as I grew up, you know, as a kid, that I can't do everything on my own. I can't survive this world unless I have Christ walking beside me every step of the way. Right? And if you're not saved this morning, you need Christ as your Savior to live in this life and the life to come. You need Christ as your Savior. What's going to happen when a tragedy strikes your home? What are you going to do when some kind of sudden avenue in your life comes about? You got nobody to turn to. That's a life without Christ. But if you have Christ Jesus as your Savior, you got something to run to survive. And then, you know what? Another way of surviving this world is to learn the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. Hebrews 5:12 tells us, let's turn there real quickly. I'm almost finished. I'm not going to take too much time. Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, some of us Christians have been coming for years, and yet we have not lifted a finger for God. Some of us have been coming for years, yet we still don't understand all that there is to understand in God's Word, and that's rightly so. But you know what? A Christian's supposed to be ever progressing in the spiritual life. But some of us, we want to remain to a place where we never grow. And it's like someone needs to teach us all over again when we should have gotten it down already. Get what I'm saying? And we should all, right now, if you've been in church for many years, we should already know what salvation is about. Right. We should already know what it means to grow in Christ. We should already know all the doctrines in the Bible that keep us from false teachings and so forth. But sometimes we don't learn and grow as we should as fast, and we just become the same over and over again. It's like, oh, I didn't know that, and you've been going to church for many years. You know what? In order to survive, you need to learn the Word of God. You need to grow. And you need to keep growing. You know what? Another way to survive in this world is to do the will of God for your life. Do the will of God of your life. The Bible says, Jesus said, I have not meat that's in this world, but I have meat that is to do the will of God. I'm paraphrasing that. I'm doing the will of God for my life, my Heavenly Father, as He sent me. And I'm doing His work, I'm doing His will, and I'm about His business, right?
Right.
So if we're going to survive, we need to do the will of God. We need to do the will of God for our life. If you're outside the will of God, it's a miserable, dark place. I know that for a fact, because as I'm standing before you in my life, I've been outside the will of God, and it's not a good place. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of pressure. There's just a lot of things that go through your mind as to the Holy Spirit constantly pricking at your heart, where you're thinking, I know I shouldn't be doing that. I know I shouldn't be. And it gets tiring and it wears you out. But in order to survive, you do the will of God for your life. And do not be carnal. Do not be worldly. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 2 and 3. You know what? Don't be carnal. Don't be worldly as a Christian. Because you won't survive that way. Number five, avoid compromising for the meat of this world. Don't give in to the pleasures of this life. They will only lead you to a wrong path. Don't compromise your faith for what God's given you. Don't compromise your way of living for God for something that's offered to you by the world. Because you won't survive that way. In conclusion, we may be small and weak as human beings, but there is no excuse to give up for living for God. We can apply wisdom and successfully live for God in this sinful world. Let's be like the ant. You know what? These ants know their creator. They know what they're supposed to do. They don't make excuses. They never give up. You know, they prepare their meat in the summer. There are some things we can learn from them this morning. And you and I need to take into consideration her ways, the Bible says. So I hope this Sunday school was a good lesson for y'all. I hope it only benefit from you, for you. So thank you.